She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And today we are going to ask you to think out of the box, the box of traditional medicine. I am so excited about this show, and I think you're going to be too. And before we go too far, let me do my thank you. Our show is made possible today due to the generous support of the Habitat for Humanity here in Tucson, Arizona, building homes, community, and hope. Their goal is to build safe, decent, affordable, quality homes for people in need. They don't give a handout, they give a hand up. We thank them for their support and for all they do to make our community and our planet stronger and more sustainable. So the name of our show today is Live Well, Stay Well. And joining me for this next hour is Carrie Davidson. She is the founder and CEO of Tournesol Wellness, a home for highly personalized and compassionate integrative health care in the heart of New York City. Yes, New York City. Tournesol specializes in primary care, nutrition, stress reduction, and pain relief. And doesn't your profile fit into one of those? We can all use a little bit of some of that. Tournesol provides a combination of best techniques of conventional and complementary care, with services ranging from comprehensive mind, body, spirit health assessments and vibroacoustic sound therapy, which I cannot wait to hear about, to acupuncture, yoga, meditation, and more. So get ready to listen and learn about the way healthcare could be and should be run in this country, at least from where I sit. Please join me in welcoming Carrie Davidson. Thanks for showing up in Mrs. Green's World.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I know. We're really excited. I was preparing for the show and I kept smiling and saying, I can't wait to talk about this. I can't wait to talk about that and ask you about this, because it truly is something near and dear to my heart. I sometimes disdainfully refer to medicine as Western medical treatment. And there are times when that's certainly what I need if I have a bad infection or something. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more to that. So let's get started and make it all about you and your amazing organization and this journey. So tell us about how you came to be the founder of this truly amazing organization that I can't wait to visit.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you. And I totally agree with you. How did I start? I would say it started around the time I was getting divorced, which was about 7 years ago, and my life was completely falling apart, and I was feeling really bad pelvic pain, really, really bad, and I was losing weight rapidly, and here I was, my marriage was ending, and I really thought I was dying, because what else could this possibly be? I went to my gynecologist for an exam, and he looked at me and said, Carrie, there's nothing wrong with you. And I thought, how is that possible if I feel like this and I'm losing weight so rapidly? So he asked me what's going on in my life, and I cried, completely broke down on the table, and I told him what's going on. And he said, I know what you need. He takes out the prescription pad, writes something, and sends me on my way.
Oh.
And when I went to fill it, it was a bottle as big as my head of Xanax. I've never seen that many pills in one place, first of all. Second, he didn't even tell me really how to use it, when to use it, when not to use it, what's going to happen to me when I do use it.
Why you shouldn't use it.
Yes, exactly. So here I was home alone with my three kids, and it was parent-teacher conference night, and I was supposed to, you know, go get in the car, and I was feeling pain. I was feeling the pelvic pain, and I took a Xanax, and within minutes, there was no way I could drive. I was feeling, you know, I couldn't really control my body, and they went down the toilet, which now I know probably shouldn't have done. but
that's right. There's a better way. Yes, but I
yes.
mean, so it's a learning curve.
Yes, yes. And I knew there had to be something else. I didn't know what it was because at the time I was living in the Orthodox Jewish community here, and my mind, body, spirit was, you know, my psychologist, my antibiotics when I didn't feel well, and my rabbi. And that was it. You know, yoga was a slow, boring exercise that I couldn't understand why anybody would want to do. And meditation was like something for monks out in Tibet. So for me, I came from this place of, you know, the only answer, if you're not feeling well, whether it's just being off balance emotionally or some kind of pain, is to go straight to your MD. I didn't know there was anything else. And this experience taught me that there's just, they don't have all the answers. That was kind of the first time for me. And I didn't know where to turn. And it was really a journey of me getting to know myself again. I mean, as I'm sure you've spoken to people who've been divorced, it's almost like you have to start over.
Totally. You know, reinvent yourself. Yep.
Yeah. We were a couple and a family, and that was my identity. And so in the process of figuring out who I was and what was appealing to me and what I believed and what I wanted for myself, I started to realize that healing came in the most unexpected places. It was taking a walk. It was taking a vacation by myself. It was riding a bike through the countryside. It was reading a book and crying my eyes out about some really cool thing, you know, that I read in this book at the right time in the right place where, you know, I saw signs and life, you know, started to have, right, exactly. And I thought, this is interesting. And through my work and personal growth experiences, I started to see that health comes from different places. And all of these places and all these feelings and things that I was addressing, you know, just emotionally and spiritually impacted how I felt physically. And I thought, why are we not addressing these things when we go to our doctor? Why is our doctor only looking at, you know, the pain in my knee or the pain, you know, my pelvic pain? Why is he looking at my pelvic pain and saying, you don't really have any pain, you're fine? And I know I'm having pain.
Right, right, right. This is my body, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it started to come, you know, things started to make sense to me. And I had to go back to work and make money. I was working at the time when I got divorced. I was working in nonprofit and I wasn't making any money, and I needed to. So I went back to work at the time at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. I was running a nonprofit there for children at risk, and we used art therapy as our modality to support these children and their needs. And for me at the time, art therapy was something alternative. I hadn't learned before about the impact and what it was and how it can help these kids. And so here I was again seeing another somewhat alternative to normal psychotherapy or other ways that I had heard of to help children. And these kids would come in and they would have the most wonderful experiences, and you could see their eyes light up and you could see the weight on their backs fall away. And then at the end of their 45 minutes a week, they would go back into the environment that reinforced all the reasons why they were with us in the first place. And it started to bother me, and I started to think, well, what can we do for the caregivers and what can we do for the parents to make sure that whatever they're getting with us here, they can also get it home? Because if we just put a Band-Aid on this 45 minutes a week, what are we really achieving?
Right.
So I started to think holistically in general. I guess it was a process of about 4 years of just being in the world and experiencing my own emotional pain, you know, manifest in physical problems, and then starting to experience unusual forms of healing. To me at the time, they were unusual, and realizing that there had to be something different. There just had to be. And so I was at the hospital, and that year I had another realization for myself. My whole life I have been different. And I couldn't really put my finger on it, but I will tell you, during my teenage years, I always thought maybe I didn't have the coolest clothes, my parents did not drive the coolest car, I had weird glasses, a weird haircut, braces, I don't know what it was, but maybe it was a nerd thing. For some reason, I always felt like I didn't quite fit in. And it really lasted, even though, you know, I always had great jobs, I did well at work, I had great relationships, I always felt like something was off. There was some kind of inner peace thing that wasn't happening for me. And while I was at Columbia, I realized what it was. I'm pretty strongly intuitive, and I see, I would say, a broader spectrum of information than most people, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that I was picking up on things and understanding things, you know, in several dimensions. So I could feel when people don't feel well, and I could see kind of how they hold on to illness and why certain things weren't going away. And I started to see patterns emerge, really, among the people I would walk by in the store, on the street, on the subway. And our illness has kind of a shape, and I'm very visual, so I see this fan shape. And our illness has all these components, but it's all part of one centric space. And our medical model doesn't look anything like it. And shouldn't we create something that can go fit right on top of what we look like when we don't feel well? And so that's kind of where Turnisol then started to bloom. And I went home and I started to write a business plan. And that was almost three years ago? Was it 3 years ago?
Time flies when you're having fun, or you haven't had time to even think how fast it's gone.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But that's pretty much how it was born. It was just life experience, work experience, and then this realization of the fact that it's not that I was a nerd growing up.
It really is like, if we press pause here, what I was hearing is that all of those things were preparing you for your journey and for showing up in the world to do this. It's all part of it. I have a daughter that is, it's so relatable to this, because there are things that you mentioned where she was not nerdy. She's absolutely drop dead gorgeous, but she has equally as beautiful a soul. So that worked as a disadvantage, if that makes sense. People saw her looks first, and it's really not what she wanted them to see. She wanted to see what lies beneath. But anyway, so this is, to me, there's so many things in what you have just said that I listened to about the concept of wellness and the whole body. We are body, mind, and spirit. And when you were talking about, we treat ailments, we treat sickness, we don't work on health care. It should be called sick care. I'm sure you agree with that. And we should just call it what it is. It's sick care, not health care. We don't have health care. And you're talking about getting back to nature, taking time to stop and be, you know, find peace within. How do those things, how are they incorporated into your overall approach of care when you work with someone who comes in to Turnisol? Where do you begin to give them the care they need? I'm very interested in the approach of, treating, getting well people well, instead of treating sick people and prescribing drugs.
Right. It's a good question. And that's exactly what I wanted to achieve, is how do we bring someone in and change their lives? The vision I had was that people would come in, and I will go through, you know, what happens when they're here, but when they go out, they shine. They just shine with this strength that they didn't know they had before. And then they are shining examples to other people out on the street. And I think in my first video that I did for our center, I said it was going to be like when Harry met Sally. People are going to look at them and they're like,
I want their attention. Who doesn't remember that movie? For how many years, even young people, it's like, oh my goodness, that was the scene that lives forever. It cracks me up. But what a great visual. Yeah, people would be paying attention.
I don't want to interrupt,
but I have to ask you, we just have to go back for a second, like rewind for a second. So who comes to you? Like how you, so you open the doors and then are you just like hoping people will come in? But I mean, you can be sure if I live there, I'm your demographic, I'm your profile, I'm your perfect person. And there are many of us, millions of us that want to seek that kind of care and have our health care cover it instead of our sick care not. So who comes? It's out of sequence for where I wanted to go, but like you started and I'm hanging on every word. So who came in?
So I would say that our clients fall into four buckets. Number one is people who really are serious about prevention. People who want to make sure they age well. And these are people who are in their 40s, mainly 50s and up, who are relatively healthy, but they want to make sure they stay healthy.
Yes.
And that when they retire, that all the money, it's so funny, like we do so much retirement planning, right? And if you look at the data on how many chronic illnesses the average American is managing at the age of 65, you know, so all the money that we work and we're educated along the way to put away so that we have money for retirement, we're spending on managing chronic illnesses and not enjoying it. So number one, is people who come for prevention. Number two, people who have chronic illnesses and they don't want to go the traditional, conventional route. Medication, they're on medication to deal with the side effects of the medication.
Yes, a pill
and
for a
they're
pill.
Not, right. So they're not feeling well. They know, they've heard that there are alternatives. They know something's out there. They don't know which is the right for them, and we help guide them to the right modalities and the right approach. Number three is people who are they're having emotional issues. There's psychological, emotional depression, stressed out, anxiety, and they're not candidates necessarily for talk therapy. They don't, you know, the people who come to us, they have said they're not really that interested in going and speaking to a therapist. They want to look at, you know, could it be how I'm eating? Could it be that I'm never sleeping? Could it be that I don't...
Could it be D, all of the above?
Stress?
And, it's, and right? Who isn't in category three in this crazy world? Okay.
I know. So they really want to see, you know, what may be impacting their mood. And it, like you said, it could be all of it. And they're not, they don't want to just go sit and talk therapy and wait and see if something comes up and if they have their aha moment. They really want to do, you know, a good check of how, what's going on in their body and their mind and their spirit. And the last thing that we've been seeing a lot of is people who look at primary care in a different way. They believe, like we do, that primary care should include all the primary variables that impact our health all in one place with one person managing that conversation. And right now we're very siloed, and primary care is just one piece of some, you know, primary medical needs. It's not looking at, well, you know, your mood may be impacting your blood pressure.
Right.
So we should be talking about that. So those are the kinds of people who come. Every once in a while we'll get back pain. You know, there's a lot of back pain, and they wanna see, is there any kind of natural way to remedy back pain other than medication or surgery?
And it's a huge health care concern for so many people. Even, you know, what my youngest daughter. And I, you know, I tell her it's because she does CrossFit, which she doesn't want to hear. And you can, I am not putting CrossFit down. Believe me, I don't want to get hate mail. But when you overdo anything, you can get hurt. And sometimes that CrossFit crew, they do overdo it. So I'm like, okay, ease up a little bit on the weights. So believe it or not, don't faint. we are up on our first break already.
Like
I told you, it's going to seem like we're in a time warp. So everybody, stay here with me. There is so much more important information that I want Carrie to share with us about our health. It's the number one reason why we need to work for a more sustainable planet and the things we can do so that our planet is healthier and that we're healthier. Everybody stay here with me. So much more when we come back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmerglass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. And now, more with Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. This is the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and we hope so much that you're thinking a lot about the message of our wonderful guest today. Her name is Carrie Davidson. She is, I mean, I don't like to sound goofy on the radio, but I'm very excited about this new partnership and connection. And she is the founder and CEO of Tournesol Wellness, a home for highly personalized and compassionate integrative healthcare in the heart of New York City. And just a little bit more about Carrie, I call them fun facts. She was not born in New York City, nor did she take the traditional path to a career in the health industry. She grew up in the Jewish community of Memphis, Tennessee, of all places, and she was very active in the performing arts as a child, an endeavor she found to be a source of peace. And I want to get to a conversation about peace. Amid a sea of adolescent and teenage angst, she dreamt of a profession in the arts and shied away from business and science subjects in school. And here she is leading one of the most innovative, holistic, and compassionate integrative healthcare organizations right in the heart of the Big Apple. Carrie, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm crying. I'm like, oh my God,
that's
good. I did that.
I say to people all the time when I'm a crier and they say, oh no, don't cry. And I'm like, no. Cry with me. If more people cried, we'd have a healthier planet. We'd all be in better shape because tears are there for a reason, not to be shoved back in. So do cry away. And you did achieve this and you're continuing to achieve it. And how do we get... when do you start franchising? I can't believe those words came out of my mouth, but it's like, okay, that's great. You live in New York City. I live in Tucson, Arizona, but there are really good things happening here. I have a wonderful natural path that has an approach. Okay. So let's get back to, there's a lot of content I want to cover. So when someone comes in, what happens? You talk about your website is so intentional. And believe me, I look at a lot of websites, but you talk about helping patients to achieve a deeper state of health. What does that mean, and how do you work to achieve that?
Well, a lot of people come in, and they come in because of a pain point. They come in because they can't stand whatever the pain is anymore. And we are so used to being a fix-it-quick society that even though they know they don't necessarily want to be on medication, they still want the natural ways to be as magic.
Yes, that's right. They don't want a pill, but if you could fix it in a hurry, thank you.
So what I really mean by a deeper state of health is that it's not just the surface pain going away. It's where's the pain coming from and how can we make sure it doesn't come back? We had recently a woman who came. She has back pain. She said every 6 months she gets a pain that she can't stand. She goes to a chiropractor, and the chiropractor fixes it, and she's fine for another 6 months, sometimes 12 months. And she said, but it came back now, and it is really, really bad, and my chiropractor is not available. Can you fix it for me quick with the vibroacoustics? And we could talk about that, but
we have
it was,
to.
And I, yeah, but what it was funny, not funny, but it's what we see a lot is that I can, as an intuitive, I can also see kind of the root cause of why people are having their back pain. And I can help them, if they're open, I can help them kind of recognize that. And once they just recognize it for themselves, it almost opens it up and unblocks that piece. We may talk about it a little. They may want to pursue, you know, some type of therapy to deal with whatever came up. But at least it gives them... they can see. They can actually see that there is something behind what the physical manifestation is, and that there's something now they can clear up and not necessarily have to have this pain in their lives anymore. And it's usually pretty profound when people make that realization. And so our model with the primary care program, which is why most people come to us, is assessing all of these components with your own personal integrative team of specialists. So you have a visit with an MD, an integrative doctor, and our doctor is Dr. Marty Ehrlich. He's the medical director at the Continuum Center for Health and Healing here. And he does a full physical, but he's an integrative doc. And it was important to me to have a doctor, an MD on our team, because I don't believe that you should only go energy work, and I don't believe that you should only go, you know, conventional care.
Right,
what
right.
If
integrated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because if there's something there that needs further diagnostics, you know, you should really look into it. And if you're,
yes,
you know, if the chest pain should be looked at from a, you know, by a doctor, not necessarily just a Reiki healer who's dealing with the stress and the anxiety. It may be something cardiac you need
right.
to have looked at.
Right. Really
so
important.
We have, yeah. so we
right.
have.
We can't eschew that because there's really a place for it. You can prevent someone
yes.
from having a massive heart attack.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So we have an MD on the team who that's the first assessment, and we take whatever bloods need to be taken with the visit with him. And then the second visit is with a naturopath who does a naturopathic medical intake, and she looks at the body as a system and, you know, systems and as a whole, and she looks at the broad blood work that an MD won't normally look at. And she looks at, you know, are there hormonal imbalances? Are there food sensitivities that we need to know about? She's also a certified nutrition specialist, so she designs the nutrition program for each patient. And then the third visit is with an integrative nurse coach. So integrative nurse coaches are relatively new-ish. It's a new certification. And that was a really, really important role, in my opinion, because I wanted somebody who's going to be the anchor of this program, because, you know, a lot of patients, one of the biggest complaints and problems that we hear is that patients will hear the doctor's or the clinician's instructions, but then might not follow through. So how do we encourage follow through? And I thought it was really important to have a nurse who's the anchor of the program, who is communicating clearly with this person, and who's also trained as a coach to help the
right.
patient, you know, along and to figure out, well, how motivated are you? And to see what the person can really do and what, you know, what's reasonably, what we can expect. Because, you know, a doctor may be giving patients to-do lists that is really not something they're not motivated to do. And so how can we adjust, give them something that can still work but
right.
is within their comfort zone? So the integrative nurse coach is also important to me because she has, she understands the medical piece. So she can read the blood report. She understands, you know, what medications the person is and why. And she's also trained in all the integrative modalities. So she understands just the whole picture, just like the naturopath and just like the integrative doctor. And together they conference on each person's care, and they develop a custom health plan for each person based on their, you know, health needs, their goals, their preferences, their commitment, how much money and time and energy they want to dedicate
right.
to their health, to make it something that they'll actually do. And we've ranged from, you know, a school teacher who doesn't have money, and so what we did, we noticed that most of her symptoms were due to stress, and so we attuned her with Reiki, and she did self-Reiki morning and night, and was a tremendous success. And then we have, you know, other people who have means, and they really need someone coaching them along the way, who are then they move on to a 6-month nutrition program and a 3-month nurse coaching program. It really depends, you know, what each. That's why it's highly individualized, because it really depends if you're here for prevention, or if you're here, you know, to manage chronic illnesses, or if you've, you know, you're just recently in remission from cancer and you want to make sure you're healthy. So it's really, it depends on the patient, but.
And what is
the process
so,
is that?
What is so affirming to me about that, and I was going to get to that towards the end of the interview, is that it means it's not just widening what I call the great divide. This is not a program that you set up that's just going to be for the very wealthy or people that can afford it. I had to know that at some level. That this is a program that you want everybody to be able to have and have access to, and you find ways to help and heal them and achieve a deeper state of health through just their interface with you at so many different levels. And I love that. Now, what about, I want to talk a little bit about when you said, like, you're an intuitive, because you know that there are people that'll say, oh my gosh, she's a quack. What does that even mean? And to me, I want to answer it for myself and then see what you have to say. So I'll do the preemptive strike. To me, an intuitive is more than someone that trusts their gut. But if you think you're not an intuitive as a walking human being, you are. We have not honed
right.
those skills. And I
right.
know I have met some people in my life, literally not understanding all of it as I do now, where I am like, oh my gosh, it's almost like a wall of negative energy hits me in the face. And I'm like, oh, I put the shield up. So then there are other people that you meet, and within 30 seconds, you know that this is going to be going somewhere, or that it already was somewhere at some point. And that's energy. That is the intuitive part of us that we all have, that senses danger, that senses love, that senses safety, and it's honing that. And obviously you have a very, you know, highly sophisticated intuitive system that you're working from. But I wanted to address that, because I know there are people that listen to our show that'll say, oh my gosh, what is an intuitive? And to me, what is your answer to that?
I think for me, this is part of how I was, you know, when I was different,
yes,
when I felt
how you showed up.
As an outright, when I was an outsider, that's what I felt like when I was growing up. I was a very quiet kid. I was an observer. I was afraid to speak sometimes. I didn't know if what I had to say was of value in
wow.
class, in a group. I mean, really, I was very quiet, and I observed all the time. And so I think part of that made me more intuitive, because I paid attention to
yes.
all the details that everyone else
yes.
misses because they're talking so much.
You were listening. It's kind of...
I was listening.
Yes, yes. Very
yeah.
important and very good point.
And I think that it's a tool, like you said, we all have it. I think I just exercised it more because I'd always been so quiet
yes.
and observant.
Yes.
And careful. And, you know, I can feel when you walk into a room, you can like you said, you can feel like that person's
yes.
approachable, that one's not.
You
that
can.
One had a really bad day.
You can sense the vibe, or this is a party
yeah.
I don't want to be at. So let's go on to, it's really important to me that we cover the vibroacoustic sound and vibration therapy because I have been familiar with that. I mean, for so many, many years, talk about it. How does it work? What's the research supporting this kind of treatment? Because it is there. So talk about, just go with this vibroacoustic sound and vibration therapy.
Sure. So I wanted to bring an experiential treatment to the center, something that no one else had in New York, but I didn't want it to be crunchy granola and out there and quackery, because I'm, as much as I'm in it, I can be intuitive, I'm also probably the biggest skeptic you'll ever meet, so I want to see evidence.
Yes, that's a great combination, though. There is evidence. Yeah. This is not quackery. Yeah. This is really supported by research.
Right. So I decided to go right to the top, and I found the number one integrative hospital in the United States at the time when I was writing my business model was the Scripps Hospital in San Diego. And on their website, they listed for their alternative healing, they listed all these things that we've all heard of. But then they had vibroacoustic sound therapy. And I thought, I've never heard of that one.
What?
But they probably did, right? They probably did their homework. So I started to noodle around, and I found that National Institutes of Health has been studying the health benefits of vibroacoustics for more than 20 years, and the data was amazing. And I thought, I want to know more. So I found a company that manufactures this equipment up here in Lewiston, New York. And I spoke to them, and I flew up to visit them. And I started to learn about it and decided to bring it here. And the way it works is with resonant frequencies, and I'll explain what that is. If you go to a concert and you know the music is playing loudly, and you will start to feel the bass in your chest, right? You know how it feels when they're like those low tones. You can feel it in your body.
Or when someone's in the car next to you and your whole body starts vibrating, and you want to say, "Oh, we have a noise ordinance here. I don't want to listen to your music."
Yes.
So go ahead. But we all know what that means. Yes, we do.
Yes. So you feel it, but when they're playing the flute or a piccolo, you don't feel that in your chest.
Right.
You're not feeling. So what scientists recognize is that at certain low tones, frequencies are copied in your cells. So what's happening is your cells are resonating with the exact same frequency of that low tone bass sound. And so what they started to look at was, that's interesting. What if we could identify the healthy vibration of a heart cell and put it at a low tone frequency next to someone's body? Then would their heart cells start to copy that?
You're kidding me.
Wouldn't that be... Yeah, isn't that interesting?
You are kidding me. Oh my gosh.
Our cells do it anyway, right?
Yes. So yeah. I can kind of almost see where you're going with this. My intuitive self is, so go ahead. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So copying sounds of vibrations.
There's the intuition.
Yes. So go ahead. Oh, my goodness.
Right. So the company that we use, that I bought our equipment from, they make the vibroacoustics. You can do it on a mat. You could do it on a treatment table. They make one on a treatment table that has a waterbed on it. So the people who come to us are laying on a water mattress. And it's a husband-wife team, this company, and the husband writes all the frequencies. And so we have over 100 different customized frequencies from him that are specifically calibrated for things like Parkinson's, MS, fibromyalgia, arthritis, knee pain, hip pain, migraines, all the Chinese meridians. We have chakra clearing. Yeah, so everyone comes and they get a very customized treatment, even though the outside experience of it is the same, because you're laying on a waterbed with these very mild and very relaxing vibrations coming through the table and beautiful music playing. And so you really get rest. You really go into kind of a meditative state. And the side effects are, I have to, you know those commercials on TV for pharmaceuticals where they go about the side effects that you could just forget it. I'd rather die.
It's like the whole commercial. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
And people still take the pills.
Okay. I know. I don't get it. So I always kind of joke about the side effects is that you're probably going to be really happy.
Oh, no, not that.
So I know it's bad, but.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And so it just, your cells copy healthy frequencies. And that's how they learn. It's almost like immersing yourself in a foreign language class. You know, you can't. You go in for like, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, and you surround yourself in a foreign language. Your brain starts to think that way.
You're changing the muscles. Yes, yeah. You're changing the muscles and how you listen. Okay, don't. Again, it's like this is killing me. We are going to have to take another break, but I have more questions about this therapy and what it treats. Everybody, I hope you're on the edge of your seat like I am. It's such an encouraging and affirming show. Stay here with me. More from Carrie Davidson, founder of Cornosol Wellness. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and hopefully you're getting to think outside of some really old boxes for this show. And just let me do a little self-promotion for that promotion that we just had. We need your help to bring shows like this. We are always striving to be the NPR of radio or the PBS of radio. So if you're inspired, if you are learning from these shows, take a minute and visit my website for how to become a subscriber. You get bennies for it. You get a little video from Mrs. Green every month with a tip for living a greener and healthier, more sustainable life. I'm doing 3 webinars this year on health and wellness and how to get toxins out of your home. So press pause for a minute and consider figuring out a way to support us. $100 a year is $8.34 a month. That being said, the name of our show today is Live Well, Stay Well. And joining me for this hour is Carrie Davidson. She is the founder and CEO of Cornosol Wellness. And I just want to say like many, many more things and not go through all of it, but you provide a combination of best techniques of conventional and complementary care with services ranging from comprehensive mind, body, spirit health assessments and vibroacoustic sound therapy to acupuncture, yoga, meditation, and more, all the things that help us be well beings. So, Carrie, tell us about, you mentioned a number of really horrible diseases that are to me at epidemic levels. And one of the first ones I'd hone in on is fibromyalgia, which I arguably did not even exist 40 years ago, or we didn't know what it was. I have a show I could do on that would be called The Rant. Why is there so much fibromyalgia? But how does it, what happens when someone is in the vibroacoustic sound therapy, you know, on the waterbed, getting this incredible experience? How does it help heal? Do the cells react? Is that what happens?
Well, there's a few things that happens. Yes, the cells will copy. So if I, for example, have someone with hand pain, right?
Right.
Someone comes in with hand pain, I put in a frequency for hands. Their hand cells will copy this frequency. And so it'll just go to the part of the body that needs it, that we're directing it towards. Because the rest of the cells in the body don't recognize that frequency, so it doesn't really... You know, it doesn't speak to them. It's not a language they speak. So
right.
So the other thing that happens, the side effects, the byproducts, are blood pressure goes down, so you calm down. Circulation speeds up, so any kind of healing moves, you know, happens more quickly.
Right.
And you go into an intense state of relaxation. It's just people, they lay down on the bed, and while I'm turning all the pieces on and the vibrations starting, I'm still having some dialogue, you know, finding out really the details of what's going on. And some people just kind of start to drift away. They don't want me to talk to them anymore.
And I was so, you know, going to nail you after the show about when I visit New York and come to see you. It's like, can you pencil me in for one
yes.
of these?
Oh my God.
My body is craving it already.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You got it.
Not to put you on the spot on national radio, but it's like, I'm so excited that I'll be able to be there and see all of this magic and important healing going on
yeah.
at one place.
Yeah.
So go
yeah,
ahead.
Me too. Yeah. So what happens, how it works, I do an intake with each person, and they fill out a form that just asks a couple of questions about what's your level of stress, and then is there any other symptom, is there any other reason why you want to try vibroacoustics? So some people are just stressed, and they just come in for stress, and some people do have different things, like they're dealing with the side effects of chemo, or they have migraines, or
migraines.
They have neck and shoulder pain.
That's what
yeah.
I was thinking about. I don't suffer
yeah.
chronically, but when I have a migraine, I'd be running over there.
Yeah. So I want to capture that. I want to understand, you know, a little bit about what they want to achieve with vibroacoustics. And so we start with the stress question when I get people up into the room and I say, you know, what's a trigger for you? I just want to get the conversation going, because a lot of times they don't write down everything. And something will come up in conversation that they may not have thought would be important to write down. So I'll get a sense of what triggers stress for them, and then how does it manifest in their body? Where do they feel it? Like, you might get a migraine. Someone else gets a stomach ache. Someone else feels like they're going to vomit. Someone else gets back pain.
Right.
You know, it travels to wherever, you know, for different people, it's different. And I want to talk to them about those, you know, those pieces, because that helps me decide which frequencies are going to make the most sense. And, you know, if they just said, well, I get stressed, you know, I have my stress level of a 1 to 10 is a 7, and we just left it at that, I wouldn't know that, well, their stress travels to their lower back, you know, and so there's a frequency for lower back pain. And we can also talk about what's stressing them out. So I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. So I'm really, really stressed about that. And so I would go into, well, maybe we should put on a frequency for fear, right? So fear could be adrenals. It could be kidney, the kidney meridian. We have all the Chinese meridians on frequencies. So I would combine the actual physical, okay, you're having lower back pain, let's put something on for that, with something that's, well, what's the emotional piece behind that back pain? Well, it's living in fear of losing your job. So let's address the fear with another frequency as well, so that I make sure, so this is kind of like the whole health picture one modality alone. It's what's the emotional and physical, and can we address both of them with this treatment? And the experience is you lay down on a warm waterbed and
I'm
you
feeling
have
it.
Mild, right? There are overhead speakers, so you have kind of a surround sound experience with the music, and you can have a blanket covering you or not, however you're comfortable, and you feel these mild, gentle, wonderful, bathing vibrations and this, you know, wonderful music. And either sometimes people will have a treatment in combination with their vibroacoustic session. So they might want to have acupuncture or Reiki or a massage or some craniosacral work on the table. But most people come in and do it alone. And so, you know, we leave. We either shut the lights and close the door. Some people like the door open, however they like it. And either do 30 minutes or an hour, depending on how much time they have and kind of also what's going on for them. Because Some people, I recommend a half an hour. So those people would be more highly sensitive people, like people who are have migraines frequently because you're very sensitive to sound and light and noise.
Right.
And so we just do it in shorter sessions, and also people who come more frequently. we have people who are being treated for the side effects of cancer treatments, and they try to come once or twice a week. And so we do it in smaller bursts when they come more regularly, just because there's no real medical reason where you couldn't do two full hours.
Right.
But it's two chunks of time out of your week when you could really get the impact with a half an hour.
And what are the lasting impacts? You know what I mean? Lasting effects. So you go and you have this treatment. Will it eventually help to cure you of migraines? What are some of the things that, you know, you can't go there and lay on the bed and when you have a migraine? So what does the research show that some of the ultimate healing effects are longer term?
Mm-hmm. So the research shows definitely stress reduction, pain relief. It also shows it's been fantastic for quality of life for Parkinson's, so mitigating the impact of some of the lifestyle problems that come up for people with Parkinson's. I'll give you some kind of anecdotal things that, you know, our clients have said. I had one person come in with back pain, and we talked about his fear. So he was having some fear surrounding the way people see him, like his image. It's kind of ego-based, right, out in the world, and how that is causing emotional stress and upset, and I could see it probably impacting his back pain. And he called me 5 days after his appointment, and he said, for the past 5 days, the things that make me feel less than and make me feel worried about my image out in the world, they'll pop up, but I'll have no reaction.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
So it's changed something inside in our inner workings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it really does make a shift. And then I have someone else who's been on blood pressure medication for years, who came to me and said that her blood pressure is normal and she doesn't have to take the medication. I have someone else who's here for arthritis pain in his knee, and he got off of meds. And someone else else with HIV positive, who was HIV positive, whose T cells were higher than they've ever been, and he comes pretty regularly for the past year, and so I mean
for me as a layperson, it gets to the parts of us that it's not easy for us to access. We have not tuned up those muscles, so there's something going on there that helps with our own self-healing that gets activated. And it just makes really logical, sound sense. No pun intended. Yeah. I didn't mean to use that word, but it's like, it does. Now, here's the part in the show where I might be having a little angst, because we have less than 8 minutes left, and I have about 22 more questions, and I'm not exaggerating at all, but I knew this was going to happen. It's called Turn to Soul Part 2, but I would like to know what you would like to cover in the next 8 minutes. I can't believe I'm saying that. So there's Turn to Soul Kids. I would like to know a little bit more about what your vision is for how this can expand. You know what I mean? So how can we as ordinary people find a voice advocating for change in our medical care? So I have all those kind of questions, and get to say, where is it? I think it's really important for you to talk about Turn to Soul Kids. So would you like to do that first and see how much time we have left?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go.
Okay, so Turn to Soul Kids is a new project of mine. We started a nonprofit here, and we started it to help parents and caregivers learn the tools and techniques that they would need to help their children grow into healthy, well-rounded, resilient human beings from a physical, emotional, and spiritual perspective. And this came about for me, kind of grew out from when I was at Columbia Presbyterian working with kids and seeing that you know, that struggle for me where, gosh, we do one amazing thing for these kids, but what about teaching the parents?
Right,
what about
right.
creating an environment where no matter where they are, you know, whatever's going on, there are people, there are adults around them that are using and teaching these techniques.
Right.
And
real change,
so,
systemic change.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have an integrative developmental pediatrician here at Turnasol named Dr. Stephen Cowan. And Stephen wrote a book called Fire Child, Water Child. And it talks about his method for pediatrics, for treating children in this different, it's a different way. It kind of turns the medical model on its head. And he's been using it for the past 30 years. And the children who come to see him, you know, they get so much and the parents get so much. But the struggle for him is and has always been, how do I help the parents maintain and help these children throughout, you know, in between visits?
Right.
And
yes.
It's the biggest challenge. And so, you know, we started working together to build this nonprofit. And there's two phases to it. The first phase is going to be an interactive online supportive community to help parents and caregivers. And you'll have his assessment tool that will assess your child's individual needs and challenges and strengths so that you're given then, okay, in the areas of eating, sleeping, playing, moving, and breathing, which are very, you know, not necessarily what you're going to go and find at a regular pediatrician's office, but these are the key components to, you know, child development and growth in this holistic, you know.
And everybody can access it, the blessing of the internet. That's an answer to one of my questions. How do we spread the word about what you're doing? So keep going. It's so exciting to me because that makes it accessible to anybody who has a computer.
Right, exactly. And so parents can fill out this assessment form and then they get a readout afterwards of exactly, you know, what their child needs. And then there will be some free information that talks about, you know, your child came out here on the breathing, here on the eating, and these are this is what you need to do to support your kid. And we want this to be an earned income, self-sustainable model,
right,
where we will sell something that will then fund our ability to go out into communities where they can't afford it and you know, offer this for free to communities and families that would not have access. And so the fee part of it will be customized videos, training videos that parents could have access to 24/7 that teach them all these skills to help their kids. So, you know, different breathing techniques, different
right.
playing techniques that will help build healthy relationship skills and different eating techniques for your type of child. There's not every child needs to eat the same types of things. And based on your assessment, you're going to find out what types of foods are good for your child. And so it will be a customized set of training videos for parents. And then the last step of this will be an institute for integrative pediatric coaches. Like, we have access to health coaches for ourselves, but children, you can't have a one-on-one health coach because you can't, like, sit your four-year-old down and have a meeting and say,
right.
So, did you keep your list of what you ate last week?
Right.
So this is a new... it will be a new type of job. You know, we can have them online. They can live in doctor's offices and be a position there, but can help handhold for parents along the way, because the one thing we can be sure of is that our child is going to change so rapidly from birth until after they're gone for college and probably into their mid-20s. And so who's helping us, you know, from a holistic perspective through all of these phases? And that would be the role of this, you know, an integrative pediatric coach who really understands these techniques and is good at training and coaching parents and being available. And
you're just creating a new paradigm of care, and it's wonderful and exciting. And I want to tell all of my friends that have young children that are facing some of these issues. So we have less than 2 minutes left. I do not want it to go by without telling people, go to Turnasol, and I want to spell it, Turnesol, wellness.com. You can go to Turnasol, the same spelling, for Facebook. Twitter is Turnasol New York City. And I encourage everybody, Instagram, there's an Instagram account, and please, please check it out. So many more questions. One takeaway that you can give, and we have 30 seconds, so it's ridiculous. It's like, I can't, it's so sad. And I do want to do a shout out. No, our next show next week will be Amy Hall, who's the director of Social Consciousness about Eileen Fisher. And all of you know that I have been on a rant about the filthy fashion industry, which helps make us sick. So I want you to tune in for that. But just get involved in peace and wellness for yourself and check out everything that Carrie Davidson and her amazing team are doing at Turn to Soul Wellness. Thank you, my friend, and I will see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes. Thank you so much. This was fun.
It was fun. Make it a great green week, everybody. Thanks for being a part of my world.